This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 2nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have a story on how the economic slowdown is affecting the organic food industry. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Illinois' treasurer says merging the five state pension systems would save money and protect against corruption. Sean Crawford has the details.
Treasurer Alexei Janulius says investigations that have uncovered alleged influence peddling at investment boards show the need for his plan. It would combine the systems that now individually serve downstate teachers, state employees, university workers, and others into an umbrella agency that would oversee pension money. The new agency would have stricter ethics requirements, which would make dealings more transparent.
I think what has gone on, some of the scandal and corruption that we've seen in Springfield, this is the ideal time to pass this legislation.
Janulius says it would prohibit so-called finder's fees, where private investment firms pay someone for helping to get them state business. Janulius says it won't change pension benefits, which are constitutionally guaranteed, but he says the state could save up to $80 million a year in administrative costs, and that money could go to the underfunded pension plans. Several political watchdog groups have already signed on to the proposal. I'm Sean Crawford.
However, the plan is getting a cool reaction from the director of one of the pension funds to be merged. Dan Slack says he's speaking for himself and not for the Champaign-based State University's retirement system, but he doubts that a merger would create the savings the treasurer expects. Slack also questions the contention that a single system would be tougher to corrupt. He points to testimony from former Teachers Retirement System board member Stuart Levine in the recent Tony Rezko corruption trial.
They indicated that Rezko and Levine were talking and saying that they controlled TRS and that they had effective control at ISB, but didn't have control of CSRS. And so to me, it looks like, well, maybe it's a good thing to keep these retirement systems separate.
Slack also says CSRS already has many of the transparency and ethics measures that Janulius proposes for a merged pension agency. A monthly survey of Illinois' economic health shows no growth in November. The University of Illinois Flash Index was at 100 last month. That's the dividing line on the index between economic growth and contraction. The Flash Index has been showing economic growth since mid-2004, but the rate of growth has been declining, and the index's author, Fred Gertz, says the state is clearly now in a recession. He says there's no sign that that recession will be ending anytime soon. The Flash Index analyzes state tax receipts from the previous month to give an early glance at Illinois' economic performance. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich is in the second day of a two-day meeting in Philadelphia, attending a special meeting of the nation's governors. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The federal government is bailing out banks, insurance companies, maybe auto manufacturers. Now states, including Illinois, are asking for a bailout too. The National Governors Association is supposed to meet with President-elect Obama about a stimulus package that would aid state governments. Blagojevich spokeswoman Katie Ridgway says it's a particularly important year to be involved in the group.
The governor wants to make sure that our interests are heard when decisions are being made.
Blagojevich has already asked Obama and congressional leaders to give Illinois $1 billion annually for the next 3 years. Specifically, Blagojevich wants increased federal assistance in paying for Medicaid and for programs that benefit low-income families. Ridgway says the Blagojevich administration is hopeful the states will receive the help they're asking for. Critics, including groups that promote limited government, are urging Obama to resist any state bailout. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin is now formally asking President Bush to commute the prison sentence of former Governor George Ryan. Ryan is serving a 6.5-year sentence on federal corruption charges. Ben Calhoun reports.
Yesterday, in front of a room of reporters, Durbin read a letter he's written to President Bush on Ryan's behalf. In the letter, Durbin stresses that Ryan is 74 years old and has no pension.
It is clear that he has already paid a significant price and will continue to do so as long as he lives. Justice is a sword that should be tempered with compassion.
Durbin added that Ryan's wife is in poor health. The senator says he knows his stance is controversial, and yesterday he discussed the six Willis children who died in a 1994 crash. The trucker who caused that infamous crash got his license because of corruption under Ryan. Durbin said his heart goes out to the Willis family, and he can't expect them to forgive Ryan, but he quoted a Catholic cardinal.
If forgiveness were easy, it wouldn't be a virtue.
Durbin said he is troubled by the fact that Ryan has not publicly apologized for his crimes and hopes Ryan will do so. I'm Ben Calhoun.
Democrat Pius Weibel will serve a second 2-year term as the chair of the Champaign County Board. AM580's Jim Meadows reports on the results from last night's organizational meeting of the county board.
County board members re-elected Weibel as their chairman on a 14-11 party line vote, defeating Republican John Jay. The Urbana Democrat then handed out committee assignments with one major change from 2 years ago. The Republicans Weibel had appointed in 2006 as committee vice chairman in a gesture of bipartisanship were all replaced by Democrats.
What it comes down to is the members of my caucus wanted to be vice chairs, and I have to listen to my caucus.
Did his fellow Democrats pressure Weibel to take the vice chairmanships away from the Republicans? Maybe a little bit, says Weibel. Whatever the reason, the county board's Republican caucus leader, Greg Knott, said the decision was unfair.
You know, a lot of us saw it as a shot across the bow. You can exercise your strength tonight in numbers. But I guess I just want to put out my disappointment.
But Tom Betts, who was re-elected county board vice chairman, dismissed Republican complaints as just play-acting. He told Democrats before the county board meeting that they're in the majority and have an obligation to govern that cannot be shared. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Watching paychecks shrink and retirement funds dissolve is making people change their buying habits. Many people are skipping things like natural foods because they're seen as luxuries. But as the Environment Report's Julie Grant tells us, some analysts say this is just a short-term trend.
Michelle DeSalvo's daughter plans to go to college next year, but her husband might need to take a pay cut just to keep his job. So they're trying to save money wherever possible. That means no more shopping at the natural food store.
It's definitely more expensive. I mean, you have to go to things that are less expensive, and natural is definitely not that.
So what has changed in your shopping habits?
I go to Walmart. Yeah, for food. It's cheaper.
Not everyone is rushing to Walmart. Brenda Fisher says her family is struggling to pay for 2 kids in college, and they're looking for different ways to buy food. She used to stop at the butcher shop at Whole Foods, the natural food supermarket, but not anymore.
So I'd buy their meats because their meats are incredible. So I just can't afford it. I would actually like to buy a whole cow from a farmer because you can get them a lot cheaper, and I just have to get the money together.
Okay, so not everyone wants to buy a cow, but a lot of people are moving away from things that seem more expensive, like natural and organic products. In recent years, those foods have seen huge sales growth, but as the economy has turned sour, so have their sales. Whole Foods has seen a considerable sales drop at its stores, and the company's stock prices plunged more than 70% this year. Nancy Kane is professor of the history of retailing and consumer behavior at the Harvard Business School. She says some people see upscale stores such as Whole Foods as an indulgence, and that's not what they're wanting.
I think we are seeing, a rush away from a lot of luxury right now.
But Kane says that's short term. She says consumers have been floored by the tanking of the stock market and the vulnerability of the financial systems, and they've done something we haven't seen in 25 years. They've stopped buying. But Kane says this is just one moment. She says people will walk back into stores, but they'll have revised priorities for their homes and families.
There's no way anyone's coming out of this moment without being affected by it. And it's a much more complicated story than the rush to Walmart.
Kane says natural food stores like Whole Foods and other environmentally centered companies are actually in just the right place for the long-term economic trend. When consumers start buying again, she thinks many will spend in places that are taking care of workers, animals, and the environment.
And I think we're going to see that the same things that built Whole Foods, that have made the environment and our interconnectedness so important to people, and move that from item number 10 or 20 on people's lists of important issues up to the top 2 to 4, those aren't going away because We're in the trough of a business cycle.
Kane expects that many people will spend their holiday money at big box discount stores. But she says many who feel they've been treated badly in the economic downturn will go back to the companies they think treat people and the environment better. Kane expects that by early next year, companies that get behind sustainable products will wind up being the economic winners. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
The snow has moved away, but this will not be the last of the precipitation that we see this week, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser. Today's forecast, mostly sunny in northwest and west central Illinois, elsewhere cloudy early, then becoming partly to mostly sunny. The highs today from only 30 in northeast Indiana to 45 in southwest Illinois. Mostly sunny later on today in Champaign-Urbana with a high of 35. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy across the two states and windy. Lows from 27 in northeast Indiana to 35 in southwest Illinois, 30 in Champaign-Urbana with south winds at 15 to 25 miles an hour overnight. For tomorrow, in northern and west central Illinois, cloudy with rain arriving, changing to snow in the afternoon. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with rain showers arriving primarily during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow will range from 30 in northwest Illinois to 52 in southeast Indiana, the high around 40 in Champaign-Urbana with some afternoon rain showers. Cloudy and windy tomorrow night, then turning colder with some snow during the evening hours. An inch or two is likely before midnight Wednesday night into Thursday, the low 21. Thursday, mostly cloudy and cold, a chance of some lingering flurries and a high of 29. Friday, partly to mostly sunny, the high 29 again. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.